The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Joanne Wojtek. Joanne is the program manager for NASA SEWP, the longest-running IT GWAC program in government. So, Joanne, it's great to have you back. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Always good to be here.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to the conversation because it is a interesting and exciting time for NASA SEWP as you begin the transition, right, from NASA SEWP 4 to SEWP 5. So I thought today maybe we can take a look back at your program overall, the NASA SEWP government-wide IT GWAC program, a little bit of its history, how it got to where it is, and talk a little bit about what you learned from the current version, SEWP 4, and just what the future looks like. And also, actually, I think, interestingly, you've done some recent program enhancements and updates, I think, to get ready for the next transition. But with that, Joanne, let's just talk about you were there from the beginning. Again, as I mentioned, it's the longest running IT GWAC in existence, obviously. So it means it must work for the customers. So can you talk a little bit about the beginning, what the intent was, the goals, why it came about?
Well, so SEWP came about to help a scientist at Goddard get a computer.
Really?
Humble beginnings.
Wow, that's very humble beginnings.
at that time, back in the early 90s, it would take 6 to 12 months to buy a single computer. And then he also wanted, specifically at that time, Digital Equipment Corporation. So he wanted a specific brand.
I remember that company.
Yes. So the joke I always say is actually not a joke, but a procurement IT and policy guys got together and surprisingly enough, they came up with an idea to help this scientist out that then they said, well, let's make this available to all of Goddard. NASA said, that looks good. Let's make it available to all of NASA. And GSA at the time, who gave authority to create those types of contracts, said, we have this idea to do a GWAC. Could you be the pilot for a GWAC? And we said, we just want to help the scientists.
Right.
And they said, well, do you want the authority? We said, okay. So we decided we would go ahead and do this pilot. But our primary intent was to just help facilitate and ease the ability to get the latest technology for our scientists at NASA.
Right. It's interesting you said surprisingly the procurement folks were able to get together and come up with a good idea.
Well, and in fact, I think that's one of our strengths has always been, and this predates even me because I came in early but not at the very beginning, that we have always taken the view that we work together as a team. And so many agencies we go to, it's like legals fighting procurement, it's fighting policy, fighting the technologists. NASA SEWP has always been about working together.
Yeah, those internal fights, that sounds very familiar to me, Joanne.
Yes.
No, I won't say anything more about that. But so that's interesting that it actually began, its origins were actually when the Brooks Act still existed and had to get a delegation of procurement authority. That is really fat. Lots of our audience probably don't even know what we're talking about, but
<That's true. laughs>
but that's an interesting dynamic, and so GSA saw you guys as coming up with some best practices and an innovative approach, and gave you the opportunity to grow the program.
Right. They didn't quite know what it would mean to have a GWAC, and so we went through the SEWP 1 with a lot of testing of different how to do limits, how to do. The initial idea was to focus primarily on the small agencies, and we still want to make sure that we always keep that in mind, that the small agencies are the ones who need us perhaps the most because they don't have the initiative. Of course, we get most of our money from the bigger agencies who have the money for it, but that was always kind of the intent, was to help those agencies who couldn't do their own thing.
Yeah, so So you have SEWP 1, then we had the repeal, I guess, of the Brooks Act, and the Clinger-Cohen Act and, designation as an executive agent for information technology. So OMB was actually, instead of GSA giving you the authority, OMB, right, started giving you the authority or saying, yes, go ahead and do this government-wide contract. How did that, That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I mean, how did that change things for you?
I don't think it changed too much because, again, we were still kind of the pilot. So, you know, that, and I will say NIH came in as the first OMB authorized one because we were still doing SOUP 1 when CONAC came into effect. So it was in SOUP 2 that we got the authorization. So it did give us a little bit more structure to what we're doing. It took the concepts that we were working with from SOUP 1 and able to build it into what they were looking for a GWAC. So I think we helped prove the concept and then kind of legalize it under OMB.
Sure, sure. So how has the program changed? I mean, I think this one, now we're going to start getting into like the nitty gritty of things. How from its origins to where it is now, how have you seen, and because you've been there, you're sort of the historian as well as the program manager.
Yeah, interestingly enough, we have three people on staff who are there from the beginning. Two of my contractors were there from the beginning also. So we have out of our staff, that's pretty long, good longevity for 20 plus years now. I think the most interesting change to me is that when we did SOUP 1, our goal was single award contracts. And imagine that today. That is not something you do today.
Right.
And so the RFP actually stated we are looking to get single award contracts. And we actually succeeded in all but one or two of our competition areas. And SOUP 4 and SOUP 5 in particular, the statement is we are specifically looking for multi-award contracts, as many awards as possible. So the landscape switched from trying to single source, single award to being multi-award and full-on competition. But in a structure that allows for ease of that competition, and I think that was probably the biggest learning curve that we went through and were able to change from that view of just go to this company, buy it from them because it's their single award versus okay, now let's do some competition. It's also, and I think it's a good trend and a trend that we see continuing.
Right. So it'd be fair to say you think the change from, you know, essentially having to do a single award, then you had the Federal Acquisition Streamlining Act, creating the authority to do multiple award IDIQs, moving to the multiple award IDIQ has been an overall benefit to the government in the IT world, or?
I think it's both a benefit and almost a necessity. You know, back when we started in the 1990s, we were talking about, digital equipment and SGI and, Compaq and these companies that each had very specific niches. And so if you wanted to go buy something, you really knew as a technical person, this is the only company who could do it. Nowadays, the technology is so across the board similar with, their own maybe slight changes, but there's not a whole lot of difference. Sorry, Dell and HP, but between Dell and HP. And
maybe
an Apple.
Right.
But even Apple, it's still a computer that does Microsoft Word and those basic things. So the differentiation is not as great. And therefore, the competition is more important than saying, I know what I want. No, I know what I want technically. Get me the best price and the best technology.
Right. So there's almost less stovepipes from a technology, less proprietary, more sharing across, I guess, the platforms. To your point there, right?
Right. And that also shows up in our competition. When we did SOUP 1, we had 13 competitions. And that actually, we carried that through. SOUP 4 started to, we actually decreased it a little bit. We went down to basically four competitions, five based on set asides. And even then we could have, that was almost more business size oriented than technology oriented. The technology is so similar that you don't have a graphics workstation and a compute server workstation and which you used to have. You have a workstation that can do all the things
Sure.
you want.
Sure. When you mean competition, it means competition at the contract level for sort of like functional areas and set asides. Where originally you had 13 and you cut it down to four just because of the post-award competition at the task order level. Is that
right? Right, right. In the competition, I was speaking of the SOUP 5 competition to get the awards. We simplified it from the 13 to, I think it was actually 15 or 16 in SOUP 4, and then we dropped it down to four, realizing that you didn't need to have that differentiation.
Yeah. So in terms of customer needs or wants or requirements or their focuses over the years, have they... You made some great points about the contract structures changing, the technologies changing. So almost by necessity, the contracts, multiple awards were the way to go. What changes have you seen over the years in customer focus, what they're looking for?
Well, I think that matches very much with the customers, especially when we get to procurement side, and even the rules and regulations now are so competition oriented, and so focused on making sure that you can get that you're not restricting that competition, and so people are looking for how to best document that they're doing so and doing it correctly, and having the tools set to do so. I think technology wise. There is still some stovepiping and such, but technology also is, you know, you obviously have things like the cloud, and you have
just
the consolidation of data centers and consolidation of the items that you're purchasing. Agencies and OMB and government in general are trying to look at strategic sourcing and how to do all that. And then, you know, that falls in line with what Soup is trying to do, which is going from a single procurement here and there type of contract to how can we help an agency at the agency level?
Sure.
And that's been a big
across the platform from a strategic sort of perspective.
Exactly.
Right. So, hey, Joanne, we do have to take our first break. When we come back, we'll be talking more to Joanne Wojtek. She is the program manager for NASA Soup, and we'll continue a discussion. Got a couple more questions about customer wants, needs, focus, and get into Soup 4 and how that program has turned out, and then start talking a little bit about the future. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Joanne Wojtek. She is the program manager for NASA Soup, the longest running IT GWAC program ever. I guess I don't know how to finish that sentence other than say that's it. That's a fact. That is the longest running one and a very successful one. Otherwise, it wouldn't be the longest running one. So Joanne, when we took the break, we were talking about customer needs and the interesting sort of the idea that the contract types have evolved with the market. The market has changed, and the contract types and the market have sort of married up, and obviously customer needs and the success of your program reflect that the contracts are getting to the market for customers in an efficient and effective manner. And we talked about customer wants and needs a little bit, and I want to go back to that because I know there's other value-added services or things that customers are looking for from many of these programs beyond, you know, at its core, it's like I would need to do a streamlined competition to get the technology that I need. You know, that NASA Soup provides that capability, but what other things do you provide to support the customer?
Well, what we are starting to provide in particular, because we are trying to look at what their needs are and building on that. A prime example of one of the things we're doing is has to do with EP and Energy Star and other policy types of issues, where right now agencies, one of two things happen. Either the agency, and we have an agency that goes through every single order, has to figure out for every single item on the order, whether it's Soup or anybody else, whether it needs to be EP compliant, and then is it? And so we've built into our system now the ability for us to provide them with that information so they don't have to do it manually, and it's automated. So we're not doing it. The other way they can do it is to try to get industry to tell them that information, and that costs money for the industry. So we actually, you know, want to build as much of these types of reporting into the automated system that we have so that they can get it, cost them no more, and it's very easy for all segments.
Right. So, and for the listeners, like when a customer agency wants to use your contract, do they go through you and you place that order for them, or is it a direct order? Do you mean your automated system gets that information and then competes the order? How does it work for folks who aren't familiar?
So we're decentralized in a sense. They do use our system to get quotes, and as part of that process, when they get the quotes, it's verified against our catalog, and then our catalog has the information such as the EP information. So when they get their quote, we, again, not relying on industry and the quote to tell them, although we like them to, we also verify it against our database. And with every quote comes a file from our system that says, here's how it matches EP or Energy Star or in the case of other as other agencies start looking at how to use us, we can even say, and this is a item that your agency has proclaimed as a good item to purchase for whatever reason.
Sure. Yeah.
So we're allowing it to be agency specific and tag line items for agencies and say these are maybe Homeland Security wants to buy certain security products and they want to tag those, or VA has certain tools sets that they want everybody to look at first. So we can tag that at the on our contract and then show it to them when they get a quote.
Cool. That's very cool. So another thing I wanted to ask you about, since we are at that sort of transition period, right? You're moving on to you will be moving to NASA SOUP 5, Roman numeral 5.
Yes.
But like a sort of a look back at how SOUP 4 has performed in terms of, you know, growth over the contract life, you know, versus the SOUP 3, you know, number of orders, who your biggest customers. Can you, you know, provide some of that information for us?
So an interesting anecdote to the growth is I believe it was in SOUP 3, I actually proclaimed that we would give out, have a champagne bottle of party for when we hit $1 billion in sale for the entire contract. We're now doing $3 billion a year on
wow.
SOUP 4. So I can't do that. I can't do champagne anymore when we hit that point. And by the way, it was my own personal money for the champagne.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, no ethics issues here, right? Absolutely.
Yes, off hours and all that good stuff.
Right.
But just the idea that we would celebrate $1 billion, and now we're celebrating, you know, we're getting almost hitting $20 billion for SOUP 4 as we end SOUP 4. So
that's remarkable.
It has been remarkable. It's been an experience, to say the least, as we grow. I think it. We knew the growth was occurring, and through SOUP 4, and I think it's really been hitting us in the past year or two. What it means to be, again, more of a, here's a procurement shop that knows us and we work with them, and it's, you just have a small staff and everything's fine. Now we're really looking at that agency level and having to develop strategies and infrastructure that meets this growing demand, and also grow our vendors. And when we talk about SOUP 5, that's one of our concerns we wanted to make sure was taken care of, was that we can't, 37 companies seems like a lot, but it's not a lot when you're talking about 25,000, 30,000 orders and across the entire federal agency.
Yeah. So that's, you know, you touched on something that I want to, you know, pull out a little bit more, but the growth, the significant success. With success, it becomes praise and all that same, but also doesn't it create challenges and the strain on an organization? Can you talk a little bit about how you're managing that success, the growth, and the challenges that it creates?
Well, personally, I'm growing a lot as a manager. I started out as a technical person, thinking that this is just an easy snap thing to do with 15 people on staff. So you hit it right on the nose. It's exciting. It's great to see the success. And you know, the only reason we're successful is because we're doing something right. Nobody has to use us, and I don't want anybody to ever use us because they have to. Well, we should be being used because people want to. And that's always been our philosophy. So we want to keep making sure that our program is something people want to use. And so seeing that growth is great. But yes, is it a strain? Yes, when you suddenly have 50 people instead of 15 people on staff, and you're dealing with, again, every government agency and not just, you know, a few here and there, when you're dealing with 10,000, 20,000 customers, each with their own ideas and issues and concerns, you have to learn how to scale and also change your expectations. As we go into SOUP 5, we have to think maybe we can't be as personable with every single person as we could be with a smaller group, but we don't want to lose that personable view. So it's very much like a small business, a mom and pop shop becoming a kind of small business, and then, you know, growing from there.
Evolving from there, and how you maintain those fundamentals that are the core of your success.
Exactly.
As you get better, bigger and better.
And better, right? Yes.
So who are your biggest customers?
So our biggest customer is not surprisingly the agency with the most money, DOD.
Yes, yes.
I think what's also interesting about DOD, they also are probably our best customer in terms of consolidating their purchasing. And I know that sometimes they get bashed for not doing that, but they seem to be very good at that. They've done almost as, well, VA, who's our second biggest customer, has done almost as many orders, but is about a third the number of the dollar amount. So there's a much better consolidation at that point. I think all agencies are moving more to consolidation, I should say, but DOD is just ahead of the game. So it's DOD, it's Veterans Affairs, and then Department of Justice has used us in large part. They started using us in SOUP 4 as they looked at the agency level. They were one of our leading agencies to say, how can I use you strategically, not just as a onesie, twosie purchasing?
Sure, sure.
So they've been a big user. Treasury also, they are our number 4 customer. And you know, their printing office and IRS looking at ways to consolidate their purchasing and not have to build. They don't have the procurement infrastructure that we do. Social Security has always been, as has state, Health and Human Services, and then NASA. So those are our top agencies.
Sure. When you say they've been pretty effective in consolidating their requirements, sort of, I mean, what does that look like from your perspective? What are they? Is Navy coming in and saying, okay, I've got all these different requirements here, and I put them all in one bucket? What are they doing to try to address that? Do you see that back end part?
Yes, that's a lot of it. Talking to certain sites that have either sites or agency level. Agency, of course, meaning many different things for different people, but Navy might come in, or Hanscom Air Force Base might, or SPAWAR. They'll all come to us and say, well, I have this requirement, and how do I, and we'll help them consolidate. It might be a single purchase. It might be I need to purchase this over a given length of time. We might, and particularly as we now have changed our database, we can now even say, do you have certain items, again, that you can tag, and also maybe have special pricing for your agency based on this consolidation? Do you want us to consolidate? And we're setting it up so we can track what people are asking for and maybe send it back to them and say, well here's a way to consolidate your requirements. So I think, you know, that's clearly where strategic sourcing is going, but with the vast variety of technology, we can't hit it all at once at a single level, but at different agencies, if they have a specific focus, we can help them with that focus.
So it's almost like you play an advisory role as well as to the strategy of how they can use your contract to consolidate and what they need to have, right?
Yes, we started a new program about 2 years ago called the PLOT, the Program Level Outreach Team. Four of our senior level folks who go out and discuss with agencies, either one-on-one or via lots of telecons, you know, what is it that they need? How can we help them? What's a good strategy for them so they don't have to figure it out themselves?
Right. So you're plotting to do good work, right?
Exactly.
Right. So on that corny note, we do have to take our next break. My guest today is Joanne Wojtek. She is the program manager for NASA SEWP. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion, talk a little bit about category management and maybe a little bit on strategic sourcing and NASA's role in that and Joanne's office's role in that. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Joanne Wojtek. She is the NASA SEWP Program Manager, the longest-running IT GWAC program. Joanne, when we took the break, we were talking a bit about consolidating and your PLOT program, where you do outreach to customers and help them with their strategies for getting greater value out of your program. I think it's a great segue into the sort of next topic, and I'll sort of combine them, but we can break them apart too: category management and strategic sourcing. And I guess my first question is, what sort of role or do you see with regard to your program, with regard to category management, or how's that playing out from your perspective?
I think it's still early in the game for that. We're working with the with GSA, of course, on that, and we have one of our civil servants is working with them to make sure that our information is put into their system correctly, and so that we can be found in this category management world.
Probably that hallway thing. So
we are in at least I think a few of the hallways, but I think it's still under development, and hopefully it will prove as valuable as GSA is trying to make it to be.
Right. Sure. Yeah, I think we all hope that. Right.
Yes.
on another, a lot of category management, I guess, from an outsider's perspective, appears to be sort of strategic sourcing, just taken to a little different approach or whatever. And I know, NASA's been, sort of tagged, I guess, with regard to strategic sourcing in the laptop or desktop area, to your credit, I think what I've heard is a little different approach in terms of trying to figure out how to buy smarter across all these contract platforms, and instead of trying to create something one size fits all. Can you talk a little bit about, and a lot of it focuses on requirements or standard configurations and stuff, can you talk a little bit about what you're doing in that area?
Sure. And I'll start by saying that, yeah, about being different. One of the differences is we're not pitting ourselves against each other. We're actually, this is a great opportunity to show what GSA, NIH, and NASA, who are the three GWAC agencies, have said all along. We really aren't competitors so much as we want to be strong advocates for the best approach for each agency for how they want to get their IT. And in this case, the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative for laptops and desktops, the three of us are working together, directly, and building how we want to approach this, what the technical specs are. Now, NASA SOUP is taking the lead. Somebody has to take the lead. I don't want to overemphasize that it's not a NASA SOUP initiative. It is an OMB initiative. We're the lead, but it is hand in hand with GSA and NIH. So that's really, I think that's a cool thing to see that develop. It also means that, quite honestly, strategic sourcing still kind of has some, it's not a home run. You just kind of say it and it works, and all of a sudden, the world is saving lots of money. There's still lots of questions to be answered and things to be worked out. So I think OMB would agree it's still in pretty much the pilot stage of things. So let's try some things out and not come up with this is the answer initially. So we've taken that approach. We've come up with, in the desktop and laptop world, we've come up with some specifications. We're refining them right now. We will later this year have those out for bid off of those three GWAC agencies. We'll have the ability to send those out to our current contracts. Again, not trying to do something new.
Sure.
Use the existing contracts we have, build upon them to give a standardized set of requirements to hopefully get standardized and best prices for the technology that meets those requirements, and then make it easy for our customers to purchase and get delivery on those products.
So it almost sounds like you might be creating I don't want to put words in your mouth, but because it's a evolutionary process, right? Best practices, what works, doesn't work, but almost sounds like a strategic sourcing line item or something on these various contracts that identifies, those configurations and the pricing associated with them. Is that's how
I would view it from the SOUPs. I think that's pretty much how NIH and GSA will probably follow the same line of thinking. Is you take your contracts and you say, well, if you're going to buy a laptop, here's the two or three models that have been identified with these technical requirements. We put them out to kind of drum up and then point our customers to those when they want to buy a laptop. Say, well, don't go buy, go buy it open source or open market. Come to us.
Sure.
Use the strategic sourced one. It may be a half a gigabyte different disk drive than you might want, but look at the price savings you'll have if you do that. And then there'll be, of course, the push from OMB to consolidate against those also. So I think the goal is to show industry that we have a means to give them a steady stream of more specific requirements than kind of these, all over the place ones that we tend to have in the government, while also providing, I think, one of the things people forget about with strategic sourcing is it's not just cost. It's if you have only a few choices in laptops, it just makes it easier to choose. It also makes it easier to know the terms and conditions. The more standardization, the easier it is for the government to purchase, not just saving money, but saving resources in that way.
Sure. It's almost also looking at total acquisition cost, not the price paid, right? That's the easiest measure, but it's not the complete measure of the cost to the government. When you look to the future, you've got that program going on. Are there lessons learned about the market or just from NASA SOUP 4 that are informing your thoughts about the future, about the next generation SOUP 5 as you're getting ready to hopefully roll that out?
I think we're going to continue to see both technology wise and then acquisition wise, not strategic sourcing, but also just consolidation of technology and a better understanding of where technology is. Not all government has yet come to grips with the fact that there's only like one disk drive manufacturer out there, and there's only one, and we're really tied into to almost a stovepipe in the industry. We don't usually think of that, but we also have to be aware of that. It doesn't make sense to go out and try to be oh, I need to have something different than this, than somebody else. Now, you probably want the same thing because everybody, that's where industry has consolidated what they have in terms of technology. So we should, so strategic sourcing has an opportunity to work in that sense. And once you say, I want something different, now you're going off the mainstream. It's going to cost more. It's going to be harder to get. And I think there's more realization of that. Agencies are clearly, both because they want to and sometimes because they have to, whether it's legal or FAR or OMB, they have this need to be more competition, more market research, and more consolidation of what they're buying to better increase the or decrease the cost.
Okay. So, and how does that sort of inform what you're, when you were thinking about, just generally speaking, from a program perspective, the, SOUP 5, when you did your business case analysis that you had to present to OMB and all that stuff, how did that sort of play out in what your vision for this, for the current, the newest one that's going to be rolling out?
So about 2 years ago, or probably about maybe 3 years ago, we started thinking about SOUP 5. It takes a long time to get to
absolutely,
new
yeah.
We sat down at the executive level and came up with a new vision and mission statement. Actually, the first one I really think really stated good things. And we really thought about what was our role, talking with my CIO at Goddard and listening to what other CIOs had to say. And the big strategic change for us was to say, we were always under the radar. Our goal was actually to be under the radar.
If you
don't make waves, if you don't know about us, you mentioned about us being successful. You know, the nice thing about being small is you don't have anybody looking at you, and you just kind of do your thing, and everything's nice and good. But that doesn't necessarily provide the best benefit to either you or your government customer or industry. And so we made a firm decision that we wanted to no longer be under the radar, that we were going to go out there and take the lead on things like the strategic sourcing. 3 or 4 years ago, we would have said, no, keep us, we'll kind of tag along. Now we want to take that leadership role. It's why we created the plot team to go out and work with those agencies. Why we look to increase the number of contract holders in SOUP 5. How we wanted to structure the program and our offerings to our customers so that they could have those agency specific requirements set up. We have agency specific pages now, so an agency can have a website on our site that is for them and for their folks to go to. So it's really putting ourselves out there as the leader that people were using us as anyway.
Okay, and so let's talk a little bit more about that when we come back from the break, and talk a little bit about some of the other updates and enhancements to the program that you are making and have made already. My guest today is Joanne Wojtek. She is the program manager for NASA SOUP, and you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Joanne Wojtek. She is the program manager for NASA SOUP. And when we took our last break, we had started talking about NASA SOUP 5 and, it's and the transition from 4 to 5 and what that will look like. And are there other aspects of it that you wanted to share? I know we're going to talk about here in a moment the tool updates that you've done and some of the program enhancements. When you talked about that big vision and that you wanted to not be under the radar anymore and to provide greater value as you've grown to be successful, if you're doing a program that's close to $20 billion over a life, that's a big program.
Yes, it becomes real.
Yeah. So, in terms of, for example, in terms of services, have you expanded in this version and then latest version, what you're going to be offering? Historically, NASA SOUP's been looked upon as a product plus maintenance type contracting program. There's the cloud out there. I think you have cloud line items on 5, but I'll let you talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Well, first of all, cloud, definitely, it's actually part of 4 also, but it's even clearly more so in SOUP 5. So we have several agencies, and if you looked at the top agencies, Justice Department is using us for some of their cloud things, and NASA is of course, a big cloud customer in terms of SOUP. So that's been throughout. But a big change is, it actually started with 4, but it will be even clear in 5 because I found out how to do this in a way that made me comfortable, was to add more product-based services, and the emphasis is product-based. So if you go to the other service GWACs, NIH and GSA GWACs, they do services across the board. And we're not. Our goal is not to get into that business, not to doing general consulting or software development, or any big, you know, project sort of development. But if you need a Cisco engineer, you know, that's a product-specific service.
Sure.
What had always made me reluctant to put that on soup was it's hard for me or anybody at a program office level to say that this is a fair and reasonable price for a service. So we actually was able to finally find a way to do that, which is to say, no, it's the delivery order basis. So the key difference is when you're doing a product, I can tell you if a price is fair and reasonable. I know how much it costs to do a desktop or a laptop. I can't tell you how much it costs to do an installation in some far off place.
Right, like at your bottom of the Grand Canyon or something like that, right?
So that's not something I felt comfortable doing. So, oh, well, let's go ahead and put that on the delivery order level. And then I'm not the person in charge. So therefore, it is now okay to do those services. Again, they have to be based on a product. They are still, you know, that product-centric view. But the products don't have to be purchased at the same time. They can be separate. And you can do services, and if there are labor rates or level of efforts involved, then the procurement shop who's doing that order needs to do the fair and reasonable pricing.
Yeah, I think that approach makes so much common sense. You don't know. I'm happy to hear you doing that.
I need to give proper credit then. This actually stole from GSA.
Okay.
So I mentioned the fact that we work together. I think we look at each other's contracts, and I found this in one of their RFPs, and the language is pretty much pulled out of theirs, which had the same sort of statement. I said, "Wow, this is it. This is what I need to say." So again, not that we're all competing all the time, but sometimes having these three
sharing best practices is a good thing too, right? So yeah, Joanne, I know you've made some, and your program's made some recent updates, especially with your electronic tools, and I thought we'd run through some of those and some of the other program enhancements as we get ready for Soup 5. So go ahead.
So I made a decision after we had had to extend Soup 4 a little longer than we had hoped for to get Soup 5 rolling, to not hold off on putting in some of the ideas in place. And so March 2nd, we did a complete do-over of our website and our tool sets.
Before we go any further, give them the website address so we get that right out there.
Absolutely. www.sewp.nasa.gov. I actually did have a customer said, I looked for S-O-U-P.
right.
Not the right soup. It's sewp.nasa.gov. So on that website, it looks a lot the same, but there's actually we did the entire infrastructure of software in preparation for Soup 5 and what we want to do there with more reporting, more tracking, more ability to provide information to our customers. I mentioned Energy Star and EPEAT before, and if there are agency specific things, but we have to have a way to get information to our customers, so we had to improve that. I won't say it was the smoothest of transitions, but that actually was expected. I felt we had 2 months before Soup 5 begins, and Soup 5 will begin on May 1st. So we wanted to spend the next 2 months getting ourselves ready in terms of our own tool set and getting our customers ready for what's coming with Soup 5, so that when we go to that new set of contracts and we get into busy season, we're not going through a transition. We're actually in place. So a week of rockiness, but we are now, I think, moving along pretty well, and I see a really good process that will get us into the Soup 5 transition.
So yeah, and so I know what is the, and I'm going to run through a couple of these and ask you about them. So the QRT updates, what is that?
So QRT is our quote request tool, which is slightly different than an RFQ tool because quotes can be both requests for quotes, requests for information, or market research requests. So it's a tool. Because Soup is not a catalog based, but it's actually a quote based system. You base it on what the customer needs. So the customer needs to have a good tool to let them ask for what they want. So we're always improving that tool. The biggest improvement, there are a lot of minor improvements, but the quote section has been cleaned up. And what we now do is we actually show on the quote page what the dollar amount of each quote is. It makes it easy for them to sort through. They don't have to open up quotes and do some of that. And we're also going to be increasing the amount of information on the summary. So again, we're trying to make it easy for our customers to not have to dig for information. What's the best way to present it so that they can find, you know, issues that they might need to be concerned with? So again, not a big change for people who have used this in the past, but it just is another incremental piece that gets us ready to provide that greater information as Soup 5 evolves.
Right. And so is the quick RFI tool related to the QRT tool?
So the quick RFI tool will be related to the QRT tool down the road. It's our first iteration of what I have called at times a quote card idea. We don't do shopping carts because typically you're going to do your own, each agency is going to do their own PRs, purchase requests and purchase orders and delivery orders. But setting up a way for a customer to build what they want and what's already on the contract and then what still needs to be added. So they can then send it off and get a quick response back. Can anybody add this manufacturer, this product? So they don't have to wait for 3 weeks or 3 days or however long their RFQ is open. Find out right away, can I get what I want on these contracts? So we're trying to build that in. That's a key piece that our customers are looking for, is that they don't want to spend a lot of time doing RFQs. Mm-hmm. So we have to find a way to balance the fact that we don't have a catalog as much as a historical view, but we do have the ability to add things.
Right. Okay. So, and in terms of, you know, that's some of the key updates for your, you know, tool, electronic tools. You also have made some program enhancements. I think a couple of them immediately strike me as, you know, related to the overall strategic approach. I guess you've made some enhancements with regard to purchase history reporting and item level tracking. Can you talk about those real quickly?
Well, purchase history, not in the sense of the prices paid idea, because we don't do the order
sure,
to south. So,
sure.
So I want, mm-hmm. because some people hear that and think that we are doing prices. We don't know that is actually done by the agency, so they would hold that information. But we do want to have generic ideas. One of my longstanding goals was to have a way to categorize products, and the hard part was finding a way to do that. There was no good methodology that we could find until recently. We are now using a company that has a database that matches a part number to a category. So as we get part numbers in, we can categorize and we can say, when these were quoted, these are the items this is the type of product category it fits in, is it laptops or so on. So we can tell an agency, you bought these many laptops or this much desktops. So we'll be able to give them more reports. We found that was one of the things we found with Soup 4 is agencies would come to us and say, we don't know what we're buying. And so we wanted to be able to help them find that.
Sure. And then is that part of the item level tracking too, or is that delivery? When I saw that and looked at it, I thought it was like the status of your order and where it's going.
So it's more the item level tracking. In terms of delivery order tracking, that's mostly done by the contract holder. It is my goal, not yet developed, but will be hopefully in FY16, which is not that far away.
No, that's true. It is not.
Yes. When you think of busy season, you don't want to add new things anyway. But we do have an order status page that is pretty basic right now. I would like to tie that in better to our companies and have them have an easy way to get back to our customers. You can do it now. If you're a customer, you just send us a note.
Sure.
And we'll help them. But I want to automate. The more we can automate, the more we can serve our customers with as we grow. And that's a big piece of the scalability, which of course then lets us keep our fee low, which is one of my proud points, is that we do have the lowest fee for these types of contracts because we really try to do a scalability.
Right. It's almost half the GSA fee, right?
So beginning March 2nd, we dropped from a 0.45% base to a 0.39%.
Right. So yeah, almost half what GSA is. You needed 0.2% more, right, to get to 37 or 37.5, so to do my math, right? Because GSA is 0.75, right?
Right.
On the schedules.
Yes, right. On the schedules it is. And there are varying degrees of how fees are done. And, I would say that there's also differences in terms of what the fee is used for and how one works with it. So we have a different mission in the sense of we don't have to solve all of government purchasing GSA.
Sure.
So they have a much bigger.
That's very diplomatic, Joanne. Very diplomatic. I like that. So, and you have a new training. Just real quickly, mm-hmm. You got a new training video. And what's the website where you can find that again?
So at www.sewp.nasa.gov. Not just a new training video, but for the first time, we have a training document.
I pulled that down too today. Actually, it's very good.
Yeah. So we've had a lot of requests for that. You know, they don't want to spend the time watching the video, just a quick go through
sure.
it. So that is now available on the website.
Great. So I want to thank my guest today, Joanne Wojtek, program manager for NASA SOUP, and you have been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.